It's back to school time, and students are returning to campus, fully loaded with their laptops, their new textbooks, and yes, their iPods. They also carry with them their dreams of pursuing a degree, launching a career. And for those of us who went to college, we can recall how nervous we were to be leaving home, getting a roommate, signing up for classes. It was and is an exciting time, but it's also a challenging time, especially for Alaska Native students, many of them leaving rural Alaska and coming to the big city. And that's the subject today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by BP, teaming up with Alaskans since statehood and together looking toward a bright future. And by First National Bank Alaska, branches in 18 communities around the state and on the web at fnbalaska.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're talking about going off to college for the first time and all the challenges freshmen face, especially for Alaska Native students who may be leaving home for the very first time. What are their dreams, their hopes, their challenges as they start to make their way into the world as young adults? Good morning, I'm Pat Yak, and I'm filling in for Steve Heimel, who is on vacation. You can join the conversation today by calling 1-800-478-8255 during the live broadcast, or if you are in Anchorage, 550-8422, and you can send us an email at talk@aprn.org. With us today are Willie Templeton, the Executive Director of Native Student Services at the University of Alaska Anchorage, and JoJo Ducharme, who worked with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and he is now the Coordinator of Recruitment and Retention of Alaska Natives into Nursing and Nursing Diversity Workforce Program at UAA. Thank you both for coming, and welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you with us this morning. Willie, I want to start with you. School's just started. If you've been over at the UAA campus or driven by it, you see a lot of students milling around and rushing to and fro. What's it like to be a freshman? What's it like to be on campus as a freshman today?
Overwhelming. A lot of the students that we serve at Native Student Services come from rural Alaska. And when you come from a small community into Anchorage, it can very well be overwhelming. There's a lot of activity going on. It's just a very big place.
What's it like? Be a freshman for us for a few minutes. You're away from home for the very first time. You're trying to make your way of getting your books and getting your classes and making sure that you're on time and dealing with all the anxieties of being away from home, perhaps. Put me in those shoes for a second. When they come in and talk to you, what do they tell you about? What do they say to you? Because you do a lot of talking with students that are new on campus. What do they express to you?
Well, usually they're showing up and they're just very overwhelmed with school, overwhelmed with Anchorage. A lot of time, the paperwork's not in order. They don't have a place to stay. They're not in their classes and such. And I think a lot of them just feel that they're just dropped on campus. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a feeling that everybody else knows what's going on and they're there alone. And
So how do you arrest those fears? How do you tell them that, A, they're not alone, and B, it's not unique, and they will learn to work through those experiences or those anxieties?
Well, some of the things we do is we try to bring them in as a group. You know, prior to the school starting, we had a program called Native Early Transition in which we brought them on campus a week early. And we felt that that could really help in that they would get comfortable living on campus. We had the time to settle them into the residence halls, to go to the bookstore, choose their books. And it was a time in which they could build friendships with other students coming in from rural Alaska. One of the key things for a student success is your peer group that you hang out with. And so just provide an opportunity for them to meet new friends and to create that camaraderie, that support among themselves. We did a lot of activities on campus and off campus. We would help them in this one particular program, you know, setting up their residence hall rooms. And we do trips to the Walmart to buy supplies, and we would have meals and such. But it was just more of a time of just kind of hanging out and building that bond.
Yeah. Jojo, are the experiences any different for young women who are leaving home and coming to college for the first time?
I don't believe so. And I just wanted to say that the majority of my experience has been on the Fairbanks campus, mm-hmm. which is a very large residential campus. And so your question to Willie, it's true what he was saying about developing that sense of community. Someone put it into perspective for me a long time ago on the Fairbanks campus when they said, you have to realize that some of the residence halls that these students live in are larger than their villages. Mm-hmm. And so they are now living with people that they've not known at all. And it's two or three times larger than the environment where they've come from, where they've known everyone for the majority of their lives. So that development of a community is really strong. Identifying people who they know that they can relate to is really important from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. How critical are those first few days or first few weeks of keeping kids in school as they come away and are living in much different kinds of arrangements and getting to know people for the first time that they didn't know before?
They're very critical. They're very critical. I feel if a student can hang on to a student for the first month, we have a really good time of hanging on to the student for the entire year.
Critical time.
Very critical.
Yeah, and does that have to do with the academic aspects, or is it the cultural aspects of being away from home and being in a dorm and having a roommate or having to make new friends very quickly?
Well, there's a lot of national data and lots of studies that have been done not only here in Alaska, but on just the general notion that freshmen, no matter where they're coming from, within the first couple weeks of this new environment, this new world that they're being introduced to, if they don't develop those relationships, not only with their peers, but also with adults in support roles, they're more apt to not succeed in the environment. And so the support programs that you'll see throughout the country outside of Alaska very much pay attention to those kinds of things, because people have been studying what we call freshman success for years and mm-hmm. writing about it for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you alluded to some of the programs that UAA has put into place in an effort to make the adjustment and the transition easier, and with the long-term goal of keeping students in college longer. Tell us a little more about the programs that UAA has put into place.
Well, student success for Native students, the University of Alaska Anchorage approach is a very decentralized approach. Instead of having all the services combined in one location, they're combined at various places among campuses. And for instance, in the School of Engineering, there's a program called the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program. And in they provide support services for Native students and rural students that are interested in going into engineering and the sciences. Jojo works in a program over in the nursing program where it provides quite a bit of support for students that are going into the nursing. At Native Student Services, what we try to do is to work at the incoming level, in that the last 2 years, we've initiated a program called OOO, which is off-campus outreach and orientation. What we found is a lot of times the students would be showing up here right before school started with their paperwork incomplete and not registered for classes. So we felt at Native Student Services we should go out to rural Alaska and try to register the students when registration opens up in April and in May. Our first year we piloted the program up in the Nome Belts area with the Bering Strait School District and the Nome Public Schools District, and then down at Mount Edgecombe. This last year, we expanded it out to Barrow, and we're looking at some of the other areas to where we register the students early on. We bring people from financial aid, from admissions, advisors, to where we do an assessment of their math and the English skills and provide them proper advising and registration. If you register early on, when registration begins, there's more of a likelihood of you getting the classes that you like with the teachers that are really supportive. But if you're waiting until the last minute when you arrive in Anchorage, you end up with the leftover classes. So Native Student Services, the approach that we're trying to take is to have early contact with the students and get them prepared in the spring so that we don't have to worry with all that frustration and sense of loss of a student showing up on campus in August with their paperwork incomplete, not in classes, with no housing.
Jojo, you talked a minute about being in a dormitory situation, oftentimes where the dorm is larger than the village from which these students have come. What are some of the other challenges that young Native students face leaving a village and coming into just into an urban environment?
Well, I was thinking as sitting here next to Willie. Willie and I both were students at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in the 1970s. And we utilized the services of what is now Rural Student Services. But I remember when I first came to UAF, there were many rural students who, for example, had never ridden a bus. And Willie just made reference to that they're still showing people how to take the transit bus. In Fairbanks at the time, there was just a little van that went, you know, to and from the campus to downtown. But you have to think about the fact that a lot of the students, they've never driven a car. They don't have driver's license. There's no need for that. They can take a snow machine apart and put it back together and drive it, you know, hundreds of miles out in the tundra, but they've never driven a car in a city. So things like that a lot of the incoming freshmen just take for granted. You go jump in your car and you go to McDonald's or you drive to Walmart. A lot of the rural students have never had that experience. They've been to Anchorage, but they've never driven themselves. So it's one of those little things that we might not think of at the very beginning. That's something so simple that we do every day that is not part of the total experience that some of the rural students have had.
What about in the classroom? What are some of the challenges? Let's role play for a minute. Let's play like I'm a brand new, freshly scrubbed high school graduate coming to the UAA campus and we're having this conversation. What would you tell me about what to expect in the classroom and how that might be different than my smaller high school in rural Alaska?
The classes are much different in that you don't spend a whole lot of time in the classroom. And so when you're in the classroom, it's pretty much lecture. Most of the work that you'll be doing is outside of the classroom. I would show up for class prepared and, you know, encourage them to read and such.
So what do you mean that most of the work will be done outside the classroom? I thought that the classroom was where I would do most of my work. That's the way it was in high school.
Well, college is different. It's quite a bit different. And usually the class is just a lecture. When you're looking at a class, it's just twice a week that you would meet for an hour and 15 minutes. And so if you think of an entire schedule, which would be four classes, that's 10 hours of teaching time a week, which is significantly less than what you would spend in the as a senior or as a junior in high school.
Is the teacher going to call on me when I'm in class?
Depending on the class.
I was just thinking, too, that some of the smaller villages, and I've traveled quite a bit to some of the rural areas for high school career fairs, sometimes you'll have a student who might be the only student in a subject area, for example, an advanced math class, and you may or may not have a teacher in that school who knows how to teach that particular math that wasn't the subject area they were trained in. So I have seen instances where students are actually doing independent study themselves, and they find themselves in a math class when they come to UAA with students who have graduated from East High School, West, South, and they have been in classrooms of, say, 50 students who are going through a trigonometry book with an instructor leading them, whereas this student has been sitting in a classroom trying to figure things out on his own in his home community with a teacher just basically, you know, looking and checking and making sure the answers are correct. Some of the lecture halls here, as well as other campuses, they can hold up to 150, 200 students. And again, I go back to size, where there are some villages now where there's 10 students in the whole school. So again, it's that intimidation factor of not only size, but how much time and background you have in particular subject areas.
I suspect the pace is a lot different. The speed at which things happen is a lot different.
I would say that's probably true for most areas, and I think for a lot of the high school students who have even come from urban areas, they're surprised by how quickly things go. We used to tell students in language classes that one semester of a foreign language could be the equivalent of a couple years in high school. So that was the pace at which they'd move through a language course.
We have a caller, Dave from Fairbanks.
Hello?
Dave?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to mention that in my experience as a teacher with a summer program at UAF for primarily Alaska Native high school students, but all rural Alaska high school students, it's a college prep program. I teach science, and I've also taught as a TA for biology courses at UAF, and I've noticed that one of the greatest struggles for students coming in or preparing for college is English language fluency and mathematics. But when you think about the English language skills that students need, not only to be able to read the content that they have to read in so many courses, even in science classes, but also even just to sit through a lecture, as JoJo mentioned, the pace, sit through a fast-paced lecture with somebody, a PhD, who's expecting that you're going to be able to write down everything that you need to write down and understand it. That I wish that somebody could improve the ability for all schools to prepare kids in language skills, reading and writing, and then, of course, you know, math, too, which is a whole other issue.
David,
sorry to mention that.
I'm sorry. Dave, is it a matter of vocabulary, or is it comprehension, the ability to be able to read it but not necessarily be able to digest it and comprehend it, or is it just a level of vocabulary that makes some preparatory work more difficult?
Well, in my experience, it's both. However, I think that the comprehension, of course, requires more effort. Just the fact that a student who doesn't have that comprehension skill might need to read a chapter from a biology textbook that's 40 pages long. It might take that student, 2 weeks to digest that, whereas a student with better English skills can probably get through that in a week. You know, it might be assigned over a course of a week in a class. But it's not possible when you don't have that comprehension. So I think the comprehension requires more time and effort. But that's just my experience.
Right. But Dave, thanks for calling this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah. What about that issue of language and math skills and the preparation in both of those very important subjects?
Well, that is one of the areas that we really do look at Native Student Services when we're doing the advising, or actually the guidance with the, we use the AccuPlacer test. Interestingly enough, there were some school districts that we noticed that the students, their reading comprehension was much higher than their ability to write, which I thought was kind of interesting. You know, we try to guide students to, you know, based on their English skills and their math skills, mm-hmm. so that we don't end up in a situation where a student has limited reading proficiency in a class or in classes that are overwhelmingly driven by the ability to read.
Mm-hmm. JoJo, are there classes that might be more suitable for students that need additional help in those areas before they take on some of the more challenging college work?
There are, and I hate to keep referring back to the UAF campus, but that's where I've spent many, many years prior to coming to Anchorage. And both campuses offer developmental courses in math and English. And originally, there were no subject areas as developmental studies, and you will find faculty on a lot of campuses who don't necessarily believe that developmental classes should be a part of the curriculum, But I think what we've seen here in Alaska, especially over the past 15 to 20 years, is that people are recognizing that many of the rural school districts, for example, the advanced courses that we might be able to offer a student in urban areas like Anchorage or Fairbanks, they're just not available. Mm-hmm. And so that consistency of education and preparation for a large number of entering students in the UA system has to be met, and that's primarily through developmental classes on each campus. You know, the comment that and the fact that we've known from students coming from rural areas for years, and it spanned decades, is that a student can graduate as the valedictorian or salutatorian in their village, come to the institution of Fairbanks or Anchorage, and they're put in all developmental classes. And it's a real shocker for them to realize that what they thought they were doing and excelling at home, when you compare it on the big picture here in the university system, was not as great as they were told, unfortunately. So that's always one of the big eye-openers for a lot of our entering students from rural areas.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a surprise for all of us that go away to college. We think we're pretty smart, and we're the smartest kid in the class, and all of a sudden we end up with a lot of other smart kids who are a little smarter and a little faster, and they spend more time on it and apply more elbow grease, and we're not as smart as we think that we are.
But there are students that I meet that are smarter than they feel that they are, too. Mm-hmm. They just lack the confidence.
Yeah. Steve from Homer is on the line. Steve, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Thank you very much. My question is that it seems that all the problems the speakers are talking about have to do with large campuses in urban areas, and that's quite a shock for students who travel from the bush to a large city for the first time. But the university has a large number of campuses in smaller communities.
That's right.
And I'm wondering why the university doesn't set up a transitional program, like a first-year program, at a campus like Kachemak Bay Campus. We have small classes. We specialize in remedial developmental work. There's a large hotel about two blocks from the campus that's owned by a Native corporation, could easily be turned into a dormitory. And I think this would be an excellent transition year. There's a lot of other universities that have these programs. But it just seems that sending students from the bush to Anchorage or Fairbanks is just so much of a cultural shock that doesn't really have to happen.
Mm-hmm. Steve, hang on the line for a moment. Let's hear from Willie and JoJo about that idea. You know, if the university has explored what I'm hearing Steve describe as sort of an interim step between leaving rural Alaska in high school and going to a smaller campus and then coming to either Fairbanks or Anchorage.
I believe the Kuskokwim campus was looking at that at one time. My experience is mostly in Anchorage, on the Anchorage campus, and how decisions are made at the branch campuses and the community sites. You know, that's kind of a local community or a local campus decision.
Yeah. Steve, have you are you with the local college there?
Yeah, I am, and there's a couple points I'd like to make. First
sure.
of all, Kenai Peninsula College is a unit of the University of Alaska Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
We work for the same chancellor, and our classes are all part of the catalog from UAA, and all the professors are UAA professors.
Right.
And it just seems to me that not even considering this kind of an option is really letting down the Native students.
Has this option been explored?
To my knowledge, it hasn't.
Has not.
And that's why I'm asking the question.
No.
But I'd like to point out that, you know, down here at Homer, we're living at the end of the road. We have a saltwater inlet right here that has lots of wildlife. We've got a road, but we only have one stoplight. We've got a movie theater and a couple of grocery stores. But we don't have the congestion. We don't have the noise and the, you know, the classes we have here average about 12 to 15 people.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare to have a class with more than 20 people here. We have a very well-developed adult basic ed and remedial developmental program. And we specialize at taking students out of high school and turning them into sophomores.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem that there's a motivation on the part of the larger institution to look at what they already have and say, okay, here's a really easy way to reduce the shock that Bush students have when they leave the off-road community and try to head into the large city.
Mm-hmm.
My son's a college junior at UAA, and I know the transition was huge for him, but he's been living in large cities all over the country, and so I can imagine that somebody coming from the Bush would be really, really shocked.
Yeah. Jojo, what are your thoughts about that idea?
Well, I have a couple different thoughts about that, and I do know that the rural college that's a part of UAF, very much so those campuses are a part of the overall institution as a whole, Bethel, Kotzebue, Nome, Dillingham, Interior Aleutians, and there have been different programs on each of those campuses to address just what you're addressing here, the caller out there in Homer. I think one thing that's we haven't pointed out is that it's the diversity of our students in Alaska is huge. And the regional aspects really, I think, have to be taken into consideration. Students from small areas, you can say there are some similarities. But I was thinking of Homer students sitting down with a group of students from the YK Delta. And there would be some similarities, but there would also be some differences as well. Being new to UAA, I've not even been here now for a month, and I've been reading what UAA's efforts have been in this area of promoting and facilitating Native student success. And I will tell you that I am very optimistic about what they say, realizing that the much larger picture sometimes doesn't always trickle down into actual program development. But one of the first documents I looked at was the strategic plan of the university 2017. And lots of goals, lots of objectives, their vision statement. But almost throughout the entire document, I don't know how many pages it is, on almost every page there's a reference to promoting Alaska Native and rural student success, to fostering, you know, diverse communities. And so as a faculty person out there at one of the branch campuses of UAA, I would utilize that document as a legitimate avenue into this discussion of why don't our branch campuses offer more of a transition program for our rural and small school students. The university has put it out there in a publication. This is what they're committed to. So I really think, to UAA's credit, they're doing pretty substantial work in, at least in the written word, saying this is what they believe in should be the course of the institution.
Steve, thanks for calling this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, and one that... it'd be interesting to hear what those who look at this issue in a very strategic and sort of a 50,000-foot level, you know, might think about it. We are going to take a break here, and you've been listening to Talk of Alaska. We've been talking about Native education and going away to college for the first time, and we will continue with Native education on the college campus as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Alaska Communications Systems, converging voice, video, internet, and data applications for business. ACS connects companies from the North Slope to Ketchikan to each other and the rest of the world. Pace Correspondence School offers the education you desire for your child. They have state allotment for students not currently enrolled in a public school, K-12 curriculum, and supportive certified teachers. Pace now offers services for dyslexia, including assessment and tutoring through the STRIVE program. Enrollment information available at 866-864-5491 and paceschool.net. This message sponsored by the Craig City School District.
Good morning. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Pat Yak, and I'm filling in for Steve Heimel, who is on vacation. With me today are Willie Templeton, who is the Executive Director of the Native Student Services at UAA, and Jojo Ducharme, who was for a long time at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and is with a very exciting nursing program at the University of Alaska Anchorage. And I want to get into the nursing program in just a minute. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the number is 550-8422. And you can send us an email, talk@aprn.org. I want to go to one of the callers that we have had on the line here for a minute. Brenda, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm calling from Deering, and I graduated from high school in Fairbanks in 1964, and I wanted to become a nurse, and I just wanted to say the kids now have it easy. When I wanted to go to nursing school, I had to go outside, and I ended up in Dallas, Texas. But now you can find all kinds of courses at the university, at UAF or UAA or UA at Southeast, and I just wanted to say the kids nowadays are lucky.
Well,
they don't have to go outside to go to training unless they want to.
What was it like for you, Brenda, your first days of being away from home and in college?
Oh, it was bad. Just, it was bad.
And how'd you stick through it? What was the secret to your success?
I guess I just wanted to be a nurse so bad, and I just stuck with it. And I found out after I graduated from nurses training, I went down through the BIA, and they were thinking about taking that LPN course off of their list of, and they told me if I graduated and if I did good, they would keep it on. And I'm glad they didn't tell me this before, because I think it would have freaked me out and made me fail. But
so what would you be telling if you had the opportunity to sit down with a number of freshmen at any one of our campuses, what would you tell them?
I'd tell them just stick it out. Call home when you want to. talk to your mom and dad, but stay there because it'll help you get your education, and that's really important nowadays. Just stick it out.
What kind of nursing did
you? When I got lonely in Dallas, I'd walk around in the rain and I'd cry, and I'd do it in the rain just so nobody would know I was crying.
Yeah. What kind of nursing did you practice?
LPN. No, I'm a CHP in Deering, so that kind of helped.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling us this morning and sharing that story with us.
Thank you.
Take care. Let's talk about the very successful nursing program at UAA. It has attracted a lot of attention, and deservedly so. What's been the secret of its success, especially with Native kids?
Well, first I want to acknowledge the woman who just called in from Deering. My hat is off to you for sticking it out and for getting to where you wanted to go back when it was almost unheard of to do that. My background is not in nursing, but my mother was a nurse, and my mother went to Indian boarding school, Chemawa in Oregon, and never finished, but she wanted to be a nurse. And being a full-blooded Indian in a hospital where there were no Indians, where there were no African-Americans, in Montana in the 60s and 70s was pretty rough. She learned most of what she had to do on the job. And when she was 38, she got her GED so she could become a licensed practical nurse. To this day, it's her greatest accomplishment. So I look at people like you in Deering. I look at people like my mom, who kind of paved the way for these programs that we see now. I also think that it's important to acknowledge the people who were behind the inception and the creation of this program on a campus. Dr. Tina DeLapp, who is emeritus faculty within the School of Nursing, and Dr. Jackie Flom. They both were rural nurses in Bethel, and they saw the high need to have the people who were caring for you look like you, to come from the communities, to be able to speak the languages that you have. And so with their expertise, they were able to write grants. This is a federally funded program, the nursing RAN program at UAA. And they've been very successful in securing those grants over a period of 11 years now. We're in the 11th year. But I would have to say, to answer your question, Pat, that the success is really based on all of those things I've just mentioned. People like the callers from Deering, who, when they find a student from their community who says, I want to be a nurse, they support them. When they get to the Anchorage campus or the Fairbanks campus, they find those individuals who know what it's like to be a student here, or whether it's in one of the branch campuses in rural Alaska, those individuals will encourage a student to stick it out. Individuals, like I've mentioned, who see the need for rural health care to be representative of the people who are living in rural Alaska, people like Dr. Flom and Dr. DeLapp, who, you know, they go that extra mile to do things that at the time not always met, you know, with an understanding or an appreciation for what it can bring to an institution. And so, only having been a part of this program now for not even a month, I see the immense value, especially since healthcare is taking off in Alaska. It's taken off. It's, you know, the number one job area that we have a need for, from physicians all the way down to aides, nurses' aides. So I look at the program's success as kind of a combination of many people's efforts over a long period of time. And my hope is that I can add to, you know, that overall intent of what that program was meant to serve the people of rural Alaska.
I would think you would have a growing cadre of ambassadors for the program, too, as they return to their villages for either holiday or vacations or summers or whatever it might be, or even to go back to work.
And there are, you know, there are quite a few people who do that. The Alaska Native Medical Center here in Anchorage is just growing by leaps and bounds. It's just a little over 10 years old, and it's already maxed out its capacity. You know, when it opened 10 years ago, they had no idea that the services would grow as fast and as large as they have now. So a lot of those nurses are going back and forth. A lot of the physicians are going back and forth. Definitely, the need is there and the conversations are taking place.
That's great. Let's take a call from Peter in Eagle River. Peter, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Oh, thank you. I used to be on the three advisory committees for the two RN programs and the LPN programs, and this was back in the early 80s. And at that time, there was a considerable dropout of first-year nursing students from the bush. And one of the things that the committee came up with was the idea of bringing people in from the bush a year early and having them sort of settle in Anchorage, get acclimatized to the situation here, and then bring their academics up to snuff. It wasn't that the people were unintelligent. They were extremely bright and hardworking students, except that the education in the bush that they were receiving at that time was really didn't prepare them for even some of the early college courses. And to the best of my knowledge, at that time, that program did get initiated somewhat and was successful. And so now I'm hearing that, you know, again, we're still facing the problem of people coming in from the bush and having the same problems of getting used to living in an extremely large community compared with their own and still having to do the remedial courses. And I wondered if that program of bringing people in early was still in effect, or if there's some way to resurrect it, or maybe to get some of the native corporations to fund some of the necessary expenses for this kind of thing.
Peter, thank you for calling. Willie?
I'm not aware of that program still being in effect.
Yeah. Jojo?
I'm not either. I don't believe it is.
Yeah, okay. Let's get a shout-out here from Eric in Wasilla.
Hello.
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 Welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hi. I'm just calling. I happen to hear their show, and I'm a big fan of Willie Templeton's through UAA there, and just wanted to call and say thanks, Willie, for all the moral support you gave me when I was a student, and I graduated in 2002, and shared lots of memories about graduating from a bigger university, from University of Washington in Seattle, and he was a great resource, and also there locally here in Anchorage when I was there. So I just wanted to call and say thanks, and I think NSS is a great program, and even though I didn't come from a rural village, my mother did, and so I was aware of it, and so he was a lot of support, so sort of touching to hear him promoting this.
I'm sorry, Willie.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, great to hear you.
Eric, what did your mom tell you about going away to college?
She really pushed for study hard, stay disciplined, and I think that carried over. And Willie Templeton was a sort of an echo of that, sort of kept me going and straight and narrow. And I came from Wasilla, as I may have mentioned already, so it wasn't as difficult, but I was aware of it, and I definitely, as an Alaska Native, I respected what the rural students were experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling this morning.
Great. All right. Thanks.
Willie, that must make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet you go home some nights thinking, oh, gee, what a day I've had.
Yes.
Well, you make big differences in people's lives, and it's nice to be able to hear from people like Eric who recognize that and, you know, affirm that for people.
And definitely, we try to do that at Native Student Services. And one of the groups that we're really concerned about now are the Native youth in foster care, and especially those that are aging out, and trying to devise programs for them, because there is a large percentage of the youth that are in foster care that are Alaska Native, and that tends to be a population that may get overlooked, particularly in post-secondary education.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we really try to do at Native Student Services is to provide opportunity for our students.
Yeah. We are going to take another break, and we'll be back in a minute. We have been talking with Willie Templeton and Jojo Ducharme at the University of Alaska Anchorage, talking about Alaska Native education and the college experience for some of our Native students. And we will continue with that conversation as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Thank you for being with us today on Talk of Alaska. I'm Pat Yak, and I'm filling in for Steve Heimel, who is on vacation. We have been talking about the freshman experience for Alaska Native students, some of whom are leaving their villages and coming to the big city for the very first time. And joining me this morning are two guests from the University of Alaska Anchorage, Willie Templeton and Jojo Ducharme. I am going to take a caller who has been on hold for a few minutes, Rob in Talkeetna. Rob, are you still with us? Nope, I guess not. Sorry about that. Okay, well, let's shift gears and go to Paul in Wasilla. Paul, welcome to Talk of Alaska.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Native Student Services, but there's something that's going to miss, and it goes all over the state and everywhere. And I don't know, it's not taught in schools, and some of the parents, they really teach you. But a lot of them, they don't, because of the new modern ways of communication, TV, and everything. And a lot of them forget where they come from, and they don't put stuff back into their community and go back to where they come from. And a lot of it is the Americanism way, and they become, I don't know how you say it, dishonest, and they out for their own successes, but you see it in all walks of life, and you know, the thing is that has to be put back into it is integrity and honesty and stuff to help people as a whole from where they came from to make it better, but it doesn't always work out. They become wise thieves. They can become, I don't know how you say it, their own selfish interests. And it goes in the military, goes in through all schools and everything, all colleges. It's just something that's not taught in business or in things. And it's a problem.
Are you saying that people are forgetting their roots?
Yeah, in all life, in all colleges, it's not taught in anywhere. And that's one of the building blocks of success.
Yeah, and
veteran communities.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you for calling, Paul. We appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jackie in Anchorage.
Hi, this is Jackie Flom, and JoJo referred to me earlier. I wanted to respond to the gentleman Peter's call. One of the things that's happened in the School of Nursing that we've doubled our number of graduates over the last 5 or 6 years, and we've done that a lot by having our program now in 11 communities outside of Anchorage. The idea being of growing our own and keeping people in the local communities as much as possible. So it certainly doesn't attend to all of the issues that we know that beginning students experience, but we are trying to keep them in the local communities and utilize the resources of the local campuses.
Yeah. JoJo?
I'm glad you're listening, Jackie. you should be here. It's just really, I'm still finding out the program itself and all that it entails. But I know that conscious effort has been made to really address some of the concerns that some of the listeners voiced here. And your question earlier, Pat, about, you know, that give and take and going back into the communities, I'm hoping that that is a part of that reciprocating kind of response that I think, you know, nursing is a caring field, and I think people who choose that as a career, that's part of their total human makeup, is that they're very caring and they're concerned about their people, their regions, as well as the individual.
Yeah. Jackie, thank you for calling.
Sure, thanks.
I want to read one of the emails we've received. I have raised 9, and I presume this person means 9 children. I've had 2 graduate at 17. These students face the world even more challenged. My daughter, who just left for school, just left a couple of days before class started. She was fishing to make the funds for school, and leaving earlier would have compromised her income. However, her lifeline was a partial scholarship in wrestling. She left here and had to spend the night at a hotel in Seattle alone before traveling on. She arrived in a city she had never been to, and the most fortunate thing for her was the wrestling coach was there to pick her up and get her to the school and to her dorm and some orientation to begin her new life. I would truly urge parents to help these students find interests they can become a part of while at school. Chess, music, sports, church, anything that gives them a way to develop a peer group. Also, I would truly urge any parents who are parenting small children, if your little person is bright and precocious and think they should be starting school early, think again. In the big picture, this bright, precocious child ends up graduating at 17 or even younger, and facing adult life so young is truly, truly more challenging to make life decisions and stepping out to follow the dreams. I think the younger adult can get overwhelmed easier and without tremendous support, can give up because the pressure is so uncomfortable. I also wish that accompanying our children to school and setting them up would be more affordable. I don't know where you can live in Alaska that isn't tremendously expensive to travel with your new college freshman. This is from a mom in Southeast. What kind of programs does the university have to help parents who may want to come and help their student get acclimated to school?
None that I know of.
Yeah. That must be tough then.
Willie would be the expert on the programs here and the campus for parents, but I know that a lot of families, the income from the parents is going to pay for the student, their child, to be flying back and forth, to take classes, to buy books, all of that. And so it's really not an option for them financially for them to accompany their student, their child to a university campus because they've given what they can to support their child.
Yeah, so that must make it even more difficult because you're going away to college and that's an experience. And then you're also leaving home and you're leaving your parents and you're leaving your family and you're losing all of your support group, Willie?
Yeah, when I said none, I meant none for paying for the airfare into Anchorage. Now, if a parent is here in Anchorage, the new student orientation has a track in which parents are invited to for students that have their parents here. But I was thinking specifically of bringing a parent in from rural Alaska to Anchorage.
Yeah. We're going to take a call from Donna, who is in Bethel. Donna?
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me on. I kind of joined the conversation late, but I do want to highlight some existing programs or some upcoming opportunities that are housed with my former employer, the Alaska Humanities Forum, and the Rose Urban Rural Exchange. I myself am rural educated. I'm a UBIC from Bethel, Alaska, and I participated in the UAA Native Student Services Delakeets Medical Enrichment Program when I was about 15, and that was quite some time ago. But I formed some awesome friendships as a youth, and I think it was great exposure for me coming from, you know, even from Bethel, which is a considerably large community in Alaska, just to have an enriching experience with other peers that look like me, you know, wanted opportunities to grow in achievement and pursue education. And I think those sort of transitional and years are very key and very important. And the reason why I want to highlight existing programs like the Rose Urban Rural Exchange is to, for, you know, Native corporations and other entities to pay close attention to, you know, basically our leaders of tomorrow and to continue supporting those sorts of efforts because they were really influential in the success and struggle that I had when I pursued and finished my undergraduate degree outside of Alaska. And I think that, you know, again, paying attention and focusing on, you know, our leaders of tomorrow, encouraging more enrollment for, you know, Native students into nursing programs or engineering or other careers of interest is going to be only more enriching for rural Alaska. I am familiar that there's I think it's like Family Transitional Liaison a grant that was also awarded to the Humanities Forum that will focus more on parent and peer transitions into post-secondary education or vocational careers. And I don't know enough about it, but I do know that there, you know, there are little efforts of that nature going on, and they were very, you know, they worked for me. So that's all I have to share. Thanks for your time.
Donna, what was your first night away from home like in college? Do you remember it?
Well, it wasn't so bad. It wasn't too bad. I think it was more like after the first month when, you know, when the homework starts piling up, when they're, you know, you make a little more friends, you're kind of distracted with, you know, what other opportunities there are outside of the library and your studies. I think what becomes more critical, at least in the first semester of college, is going to be that month into it and the support that, you know, students are going to need. And, you know, that persistence of encouraging them to say, you know, can you make it through this one semester? And even after getting your grades back and maybe not being very appreciative in the quality of the grades or if you're disappointed in those grades, is being persistent enough to come back for that second semester and just say, if I get one more under my belt, the level of defeat isn't so hard, you know. It's kind of like it's a jagged little pill. But I think that support is definitely, you know, influential, you know, in encouraging that second semester. And I think once a student gets a year under their belt, they're only that much more, hopefully, resilient to, you know, pursuing, you know, the second and third years for whatever degrees they're pursuing.
So what's the one tip you would have? Let's say you're in a group of freshmen. What's the one tip that you would pass along to them?
Just to not be afraid of failure. I think, you know, I think it's just to celebrate the success that you're actually there and you're in that moment and you're part of something, and to hold on to that and remember that, you know, there's always home to go back to and it will always be there. I think, you know, in my experience, like, it came to fruition when my parents just said, well, come home then. And I thought about it long enough to say, well, you know, Is that really what I want to live with after I go home? Do I will I be able to handle myself?
Yeah.
You know, about that. And I took a long time to finally sink in.
Yeah.
And I have no regrets for, you know, finishing and setting a goal for myself.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for calling and thank you for sharing that story with us.
No problem. Take care.
Willie? Jojo, thank you so much for being with us this morning on Talk of Alaska and sharing your experiences with us. And I want to thank our callers and those who emailed us. I'm Pat Yak, filling in for Steve Heimel. I want to thank Gooseberry Peter on the control and Lori Townsend, who's been handling the phones this morning. And look forward to being with you again next week on Talk of Alaska.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by Alaska Communication Systems, converging voice, video, internet, and data applications for business with data transfer speeds up to Gig E, ACS, connecting Alaska companies to each other and the rest of the world. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the District of Oregon has set a deadline for filing claims for anyone who has suffered injury by sexual, mental, or physical abuse or misconduct by a Jesuit priest or others, claiming the Society of Jesus Oregon Province has some responsibility. The deadline is November 30th, 2009. Proof of claim forms are available online or by calling 1-888-909-0100. This message is sponsored by the Society of Jesus, Oregon Province. Views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at aprn.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.